a magazine which comes out once a week. It's called in French, Hebdomadaire. Right. So that's Hebdomadaire. But I think the average person, if you would use that word in English, would think about a camel or something like that. I beware of using words that I'm afraid people will not understand. I have to show that I'm acquainted with that, and I have a large vocabulary. I would like people to understand. Very good. Omar Ravami. Ravami said, Gedolo Deyo Shenitno Betchilo. So Rabbani says, you know, wisdom, understanding, this is really a very great gift that we have, and this is the reason why it was put at the very beginning of the weekday brachas. The Yom Rabbani, and another thing that he says, Gedolo Deya, Deya is also great for another reason. He says, Shenitno ben shtei oisiyes. He says, it's great because it is a word which we find between two mentions of God's name. This is what he means by Benishtei Osius. Normally the word Osius in Hebrew means letters of the alphabet. But here it wouldn't be the proper understanding what he's saying. Because what is his proof? Shenemar, it's written, Ki El Deos Hashem, right? In other words, because God is a God of knowledge or understanding. Okay? So notice, Ale precedes it, right? And Hashem follows it. Bechol mi she'ein bo das medeo, and anybody, he says, who has no knowledge within him, in other words, someone who is complete ignoramus, also larachim alav, then he says it is prohibited to have mercy upon him. Don't have to tell you this is a very extreme view, but he's doing it simply because he wants to make another point. The point is, hey, I got you another pasuk. Now, what is that pasuk? Shenemar, ki lo ambinos hu, al kemel yachminu oseinu. It's written in Yeshayahu that because this is a nation which lacks understanding, lo ambinos, right? The nation without understanding. Al Kain, for that reason, Lo Yirachmenu Oseinu, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam will not have, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam will make it, his maker will not have mercy upon him. So in other words, what he's trying to tell us is, in the final analysis, that we should all have knowledge and understanding. Yes? No, not at all. Nowhere. What it does say in Pirkei Avos is simply that, for example, Ein Bur Yirei Chet V'Loyam Horetz Posim. Ein Bur Yirei Chet means that a person who completely lacks any knowledge of Yiddishkeit, whatever, literally he's empty of all these things, all right? He cannot be a Yirei Chet. He cannot be someone who fears him because he doesn't know what's right, what's wrong, or anything like that, okay? V'Loyam Horetz Posim. And furthermore, he says, a person with Zambo Oritz cannot be a truly pious person. Now, what does he mean by that? What he means by that is that the Amho Oritz could still have piety in him. Because the Amho Oritz is a higher degree already, as we would say, a higher madrega. To use a Hebrew word, okay? He stands in a higher level than the boor, the one who has absolutely nothing. But again, his understanding is limited. And if your understanding is limited, it cannot be truly pious. To be truly pious, you really have to be immersed in Yiddishkeit, so you know what.
If you learn it.
Yeah, right. What piety demands it. Okay? But nowhere does it say what it says on the year. Omer Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said, Godol Mikdash. He says, you know, the Beis HaMikdash is also a great thing that God gave to us. Why? Shanitam bein shtei osios. It was also placed between two mentions of God's name. Shenemar, Bo'alto Hashem, Mikdash Hashem. Right? Because we say that where? No. Every day we say it. No, come on. Come on. Yeah? Of course we say it every day. At least we should say it every day.
I as a monger say it every day. I lose notice. I give up. I confess I give up.
The answer is that that's your shoe.
Oh, so it's your motion.
Okay. Oh, all right. Well, Hashem, right? Big
well,
Hashem,
really
right? In other words, he wants to say that the Beis HaMikdash is something very, very special because God associates his name both before it and after the word Mikdash, you see. It means the Beis HaMikdash, okay? The Yom Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar said, Kol Odom Sheyesh Bo Deyo Ki Ilu Nivna Beis HaMikdash B'Yomav. Okay? He says that any person who has knowledge within him, it's as if the Beis HaMikdash were rebuilt in his own day. In other words, through our study of Yiddishkeit, Talmud, Gemara, whatever it may be, whether it's Mishnah, whether it's the study of Chumash, and so on and so forth, but if we possess this knowledge of God that we acquire by putting our mind to it, you know, so it's as if we are helping to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash.
I can feel the burnt offerings going up inside.
Well, okay. I hope that there's no fire in the brain, though. The gray matter is on fire. Okay. Deyo nitno ben shteyo. So he shows, you know, the parallel of what we've already seen before. It says the word deyo, right, wisdom, understanding, right, knowledge, is to be found between two mentions of God's name and mikdash nitno ben shteyo. So that therefore, A equals B. Okay, what is the connection?
The two
are both around. Knowledge of God goes hand in hand with building the Beis HaMikdash. Now, since we're talking about other, you know, about Sukkim, where we find the name of God just before and the name of God right after, okay? So now he takes another question. He says, yeah. Mach diplo ravachov. Karchani'or. Some say it's Karchani'or. Some have different readings over here. But anyway, Rav Acha, maybe it's Karchani'or, as it says over here. So the guy who comes from Karchani'or, maybe.
As opposed to Karchani'or.
Maybe, right, as opposed to Karchani'or, which would probably be something like Karchani'or or something like that. But we can't always be 100% certain.
This is the name of
It could be the name of a shtetl that he comes from. Or maybe it comes from the word for baldness, you know, Kareach or something. Maybe he was a baldy or something like that. So they called him Rav Acha the bald.
The bald one.
Whatever. Yeah. But anyway, he objected to it because he says, Elamiyato, look, if you're going to show me Psukim, where the name of God is before a word, the name of God is after, then in that case we have to say that Gedola Nekoma, great is vengeance. Because the word Nekoma is also found between two mentions of God's name. Shenemar El Nekomos Hashem. So, you know, he objected to the statement of Rabbi Elazar. So, Rabbi Elazar said to him, In, yeah, he says that's true. Nekoma Taka could also be a great thing. When? Miho. Yeah, the milso. Okay, the milso miho gedolahi. Yes, he says definitely it could be, because sometimes taka nekama is big and you know it's a great thing, and sometimes the nekama is not good. Behind the Omer Ula, he says the same thing as what Ula said. He says shtei nekamos halolo. Why do we have, first of all, it says nekomos, you know this, right? Mm-hmm. Why do we have two nekomos? So the answer is, achat toivo, the achat the raw. There could be vengeance which is a good quality, and there could be vengeance, you know, which is an evil quality. Letova, where do we see a pasuk, you know, wherein it is a good quality. It fits in. It's written, for example, this happens to be at the end of the Sefer Devarim, says, Hopia Meha Poron. In other words, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam appeared. In other words, he revealed himself from Mount Paran. Okay? Now, of course, what is the connection? This is the question. Okay? What he's saying is over here that Rashi has a very interesting comment. I don't have to think of it 100%. Let's take a look at the Rashi of this particular place. All right, let's finish first and then we'll look at the Rashi. Okay? All right. So the good one, he says, this is shown in the Pasuk, Kofiyah Mehar Poron, right, that God revealed himself in Mount Poron. And there are all, where was this Nekama shown to be an evil business? That's it. El Nekama Tzad Hashem, El Nekama Sofiyah. All right. So now we have to see, why is it good and why is it bad? Okay? All right. But first of all, with Rashi, let's start from where it says Gemara over there. See it? Yibumem?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So first, Rashi explains, as I explained before, Mitok Shehi Chochma. Habdola requires wisdom, right? Hechochem Yodea Lahavdil Bein Kodesh Tochol Vein Tomi L'Tohar. A person who is wise, he knows how to make a distinction between what is sacred and profane, and between what is impure or unclean and that which is pure. Okay? Now, Bein Shtei Osios, as I pointed out to you, because if you take it literally, Bein Shtei Osios simply means between two letters, and that doesn't make sense in the context, so therefore Rashi explains that it's Bein Shtei Askoros, right? That it means between two mentions of God. God's name. Mention of God's name he refers to by the word Askaro. Yeah. Milsa Mihogad Elohim. So Rashi explains, what does it mean by Milsa Mihogad Elohim? That the comma can be a good thing. It says, Bimakom Shetzricha, the place where the comma is necessary, Shetzricha Nekoma, where the comma is necessity, then Dovagodahu. It's a great thing. Now, Shtei Nekomas Halola Lama, right? Why do we need two Nekomas? Because it's written El Nekomos, which would be a plural. So it says, Achas L'Roah, right? One is for evil, in Nokim and Oakum, Shelo Kippur Satara. This is to take vengeance upon the Goyim that they did not accept the Torah. Okay? And what is the other one? The achas the toiva. The other one is in order to perform something good. What is the something good? So he brings the Gemara over here in Baba Kama. Kedamim Baba Kama, he says, as we say in Baba Kama, says, Mitporon Hofi. You know what the Rabbeinu Shleilam did? He revealed himself at Mount Paran, the Hifkir Mamonon Yisrael. And he made the Goyish Gel a Hefkir so that Jews could be able to take advantage of it. Hifkir means that literally he freed their money for the benefit of Israel. He liberated their money. Okay?
Liberated the
Goyish money. The Goyish money for the benefit of Israel. And he gives an example of what he means. Gemara says that Shor shall Yisroel shenorach Shor shall Akum Potter. Alright, we know that the Torah speaks about the fact that if an ox gores another ox, then of course the owner has to pay, right, for the damage that he has done. In fact, I was talking about it in the Mishnah, it's not too long ago. Alright, but what they do in the Gemara is to say, what are we talking about? We're talking about Shor Shel Yisrael. In other words, if it's a Jewish ox that gores another Jewish ox, then in that case you have to pay. But if it's Shor Shel Yisrael Shenogach Shor Shel shall akum of a goy of an idolater, and in that case the Israelite is free from paying damages for it, which sounds very good and so on, but I don't have to tell you that Jewish law today does not follow that. Okay. And it doesn't follow it for one very good reason.
What's that? Live with goyim.
You have to live with goyim, exactly. Not only that, the goy is echet amensh, and you have to bear in mind, you know, that you have to treat a goy as you treat a Jew. And this applies to many, many different areas. Even though, technically, you might find yourself, you know, free from, let's say, an obligation towards a goy in certain respects, but nevertheless, b'pnei darchei shalom, as they express, in other words, for the sake of peace, or in some other times they call it b'nei tikkun olam, in order to make this a better world to live in. You're not allowed to defraud or to cheat or anything else to the goy. That's considered chilul Hashem. One of the worst acts of chilul Hashem is for a Jew to defraud a goy, so that the goy immediately says, "Look at that dirty Jew." All Jews are like that. I'm sure they've thrown it up in your face. I know I've had it thrown up in my face.
No, you don't do anything wrong.
Huh?
You don't do anything wrong.
I didn't do it. But nevertheless, yeah, you know, when they start to use the word Jew in this context, I mean, you know what it is.
Well, just like they accuse all Jews of being communist, because Lenin was originally a Jew.
Yeah, I mean, do you read the biography of this Lazar Kaganovich when he died recently?
Right.
He was one of the worst murderers over there. He was Stalin's right hand. As a matter of fact, his sister was Stalin's mistress, Rosa. Yeah, he was, but I assure you, I wouldn't even know whether he was ever even bar mitzvah. He grew up, as far as I know, in a communist home. And
probably wasn't even
he was
that
way. Yeah. Well, that he could have been. I don't know Jews who weren't circumcised in Europe. In America, it's becoming fashionable to a certain extent. Although, thank God, I think that the average American Jew still has it. Still practices a bris. The only problem that we face in that respect is who is performing the bris.
That's different.
That's already a different problem that we have. You know, to have a secular doctor or a goy or whoever it may be perform a bris, this is not a bris, you see. And a bris has to have the act, you know, that the child is entering into the covenant with the knowledge and full consent of the father and with a moel who knows what he's doing, as the Shomer Shabbos, he believes. In the concept of Chris himself. So this is a problem. This is a problem that we're having.
You know.
Yes.
Speak up.
Absolutely right. No question. That's why I say, while it may sound good over here in the text, but it's only a theoretical thing. In reality, the sages have plenty of things to, you know, to condemn the idea, because of the fact that we're not allowed to defraud somebody else. And it's a little Hashem. So, okay, let us continue.
So
now,
you continue with Rashi.
Didn't finish the Rashi yet.
We have to continue by the book.
Yeah, Hofei says Gila, in other words, Ravina Shalalam revealed himself, the Hifgir, and he also liberated, so to speak, or repeat, Yeshalo Kibro Sator. This was the punishment to the Goyim because they did not accept the Torah. Okay. Gemara in Aveda Zorah tells, for example, that the Ravina Shalalam came to, you know, the various nations, okay. And he said to them, "Will you accept my Torah?" Because they complained, they said to him, "You know, we were never given the chance to accept the Torah. So why shouldn't we have the chance?" So he said, "Fine, okay." But, you know, first of all, you know, they wanted to know what was in the Torah. And as the Medrash tells us, you know, when they heard, you know, that the right, you're not allowed to steal, you're not allowed to commit adultery, you're not allowed to murder. This nation liked the idea of murdering because they lived from banditry, and this one liked stealing, and this one liked to commit adultery, and they lived a loose life, and so on. Therefore, they rejected the Torah. And finally, the Gemara says that, you know, the Bnei Shalem said, "Okay, you are you want a mitzvah? Okay, here is a very easy mitzvah for you to perform. And what is this mitzvah? Build a sukkah." So they built the sukkah, and it got hot as all blazes. sun shone upon and it was very, very hot. So what did they do? They kicked the sukkah, trampled upon it. Right. Not alone they didn't want to sit in the sukkah, but they really stepped all over it in order to show their contempt for the whole thing. So then we have a pasuk in the prophet Habakkuk. It's written over there, Roa Vayater Goyim, that Rabbeinu Shalom saw and he released the nation. So the Gemara says, and what did he see? He saw that they really did not want to observe the commandments, and so therefore Vayater Goyim, he said, okay, then you don't have to observe the Torah. But of course, what did Rabbeinu Shalom give to all mankind? Gave him Sheva Mitzvahs and then that he did. Okay? But you know, the rest of the Torah is not incumbent upon a Goy. A Goy is not required to observe Shabbos. A Goy is not required, you know, to observe Kashrus. These are things that we are required to do, but a Goy is not required to do. Alright, now if you remember, the Mishnah said Rabbi Akiva had a different idea. He said, Rabbi Akiva Omer, he says, Omra Bracha Revis. He says it as a fourth blessing by itself. Omalei Rav Shemen Barabba to Rabbi Yochanan. So Rav Shemen Barabba said to Rabbi Yochanan, he says, Mich the Yan Shekinah Sagdol Tikdol Emni Soil Bobbis Tzvilois Kedushos Vadolois, inasmuch as the members of the Knesset HaGdolah, remember the very first great assembly, the people who returned from Babel, returned from Babylonia with Ezra and Nehemiah and so on, and they formed the first great council, and they were the ones who gave us the text of the Shemoneh Esrei, right, and the Brachas and so on. So inasmuch as the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah tikkun the Hemli Yisrael, they ordained for the people of Israel Brachos, blessings, with philos and prayers, kedushos, in other words, you know, not only the fact that we say kedusha in the Shemoneh Esrei, you know, when we repeat, but also kiddush that we recite, v'havdolos, which we also have to recite in the Shemoneh Esrei, and of course we know also with the kav, right, the wine. So nech ze heichon tikkun. So why don't we go and see where it is that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah ordained that it should be said. So Amalei, so his answer was, Bitchilo kvohu bitfila. It says, at first, they ordained that Havdalah should be recited in the Shemoneh Esrei. Then He'eshiru, then when the people of Israel became a little bit wealthier, so kvohuha alakos, then in that case they said, you know what, Havdalah should be recited over the cup of wine. Because why did they put it in the Shemoneh Esrei? They put it in the Shemoneh Esrei, according to this point of view, because of the fact that it did not require any expenditure of money on the part of any person. Even the poorest person could say the Shemoneh Esrei and could recite Havdalah, right? But when the people of Israel got a little bit more well-to-do, they got better established and so on, so then the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah said, okay, make the Havdalah over a cup of wine. Heyonu, then what happened? The people of Israel again became poor. In other words, this is the economic cycle that they went through, right? So when they became poor again, Chosu Kvaruhu Bitfila. So they again ordained that it should be recited in the Shemoneh Esrei. So in other words, according to this opinion, at first they said it in Shemoneh Esrei, then they decided to take it out of the Shemoneh Esrei but put it instead over a cup of wine, and then the next time around when they got poor again, they said, okay, let's put it back again into the Shemoneh Esrei. Okay,
what period, when are we talking about chronological?
Okay,
when were they poor, when were they not poor?
Right. People of Israel, when they came back from Babylonia, presumably were poor. I mean, here they had uprooted themselves from whatever they were doing in Babylonia, right?
While they were,
they came to Eretz Yisrael, and here was important, it was necessary to reestablish Jewish life. Mm-hmm. People were poor, the fields were bare, which required a great deal of work and effort on their part in order to do something. Cities had been destroyed and so on. So they, you know, they didn't have the wherewithal, all right? Mm-hmm. So that's why the Knesset HaGdolah said, all right, make Havdalah over in the, as part of the Shemoneh Esrei, okay? But then, once they got settled, a generation or two later, or maybe, let's say, 20, 30 years after the event, right? So then, by then, you know, things were better. They could afford already to make wine, and they could afford to enjoy wine. So he said, okay, you can enjoy wine, then make havdalah over wine, okay?
They had to grow the grapes.
Right.
So
but then, of course, again came persecutions. Historical persecutions. As, for example, wars of the Greeks against the Jewish people. Okay? Wars of the Romans against the Jewish people. Now, obviously, as a result of wars and everything else, or the persecution, let's say, in the days of the Maccabees, okay? As a result of these things, again, people found that their vineyards were destroyed, their homes were destroyed, and things like that, and so they were poor, so they put it back.
Could you tie in again for me in terms of governing with a minion at a certain place?
Yeah.
I mean, surely is what I'm saying.
Right,
being
yes.
I'm
yeah.
the word now, but... As a, and then you do it with a coast when you're at home after shul. I mean, this concept.
Correct.
I mean, that's what you're talking about. You're talking about at that period,
right.
There's people davening together in a minyan in a place.
Right.
Davening a communal ma'ariv.
Yes.
And then it's established that everyone can afford.
It doesn't even have to be a communal ma'ariv.
No, but I'm saying that.
Right. I mean, any individual, let's say he's davening at home by himself
and
without
then,
a minyan.
And
but
then
still.
And then the Rabbanim made a public ordinance saying from now on it's better to do it at home with wine. And then
correct.
They said, right, from now on, since it's difficult, you don't have to do it at home, we'll do it in shul and we'll get one glass of wine
right.
between the whole bunch
well,
of
they're
going to
say
yeah.
it's not necessarily
yeah.
in shul. We're not talking
yeah,
about
but
adults.
You make it sound as though they're real people in a real land. And then I'm trying to say,
of course,
well,
they're real people.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Of, more Jews as well.
Yeah, so I'm
okay.
trying to understand.
Yeah.
Is there a building? Are they in someone's house? I mean, when you daven with a minyan like this.
When you daven with a minyan, say it. When you daven by yourself, you still
yeah,
say
yeah, yeah, but
yeah.
I'm trying to picture the people who this was written for at that time. Would they be davening in someone's house? Would they be davening in a field together? Would they be davening in a building that's set aside in the town?
Okay. Much as possible already by the time the Second Temple they began to build shuls all over Eretz Yisrael, as we know because we have the ruins of synagogues that existed in those
and
days.
That's a place
yes.
for prayer and study. Is that how a shul would
well,
be
well originally the shul was a place of prayer and the Beis Medrash was a place for study. In other words, it was a separate building. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Of course as time went on
yeah, yeah.
very often the two roles became
mm-hmm.
merged. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But originally the shul was for communal prayer. That's it.
And this is a very naive
yeah.
and sophisticated question. And there'd be one shacharis minyan for that community? Everyone would come together and daven at the same time?
Well, I guess theoretically the answer is yes. That they would have one time for the davening.
When the sun
right.
is just right.
Yeah,
that,
right.
So
that's
be
correct.
Right.
Yeah.
yeah.
But also people also were davening privately by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't able to make a minyan. Maybe there weren't enough people in town in order to make a minyan.
So you had to go to work in the
right.
fields or
whatever it may be. Right. So in that case, they davened for themselves. But in any case, as part of the Shemona Esrei, Abdullah was ordained to be recited on Saturday night.
Also
okay.
Bill,
yes.
Atochan Antono is the first say that right after Shabbos. Right.
Yeah, well, that's the point. That was the other point.
The first
bracha,
yeah.
Right, it's the first weekday bracha. So that therefore
that
he said this
valid.
Is
mm-hmm.
correct. Yeah, that was his opinion.
But now we've practiced both.
Yeah, right. I mean, the first one, if you remember, said because it requires knowledge to make a distinction between holy and profane,
right. mm-hmm.
and pure and impure, and so on. And the other one said, you know, because it happens to be the first weekday bracha,
mm-hmm.
and so therefore, this is where we put it. All right. So now we see that historically, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, first they ordained that it should be said in Shmona Esrei, then. When the people of Israel got a little richer, so they said, okay, now it can be said, it should be said over a cup of wine. Which means, in other words, that they said the proper place is now not in the Shmona Esrei, but at home over a cup of wine. Hey Anu, but when they became poor again, then Chozru Kohu Betvila. Then they once again decided to
put it back
into the Shmona Esrei. Okay? Behem Omru, and they said, in other words, the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah, they're the ones, he says, who said, Hamavdil b'tfila, Zorich sheyavdil alakos. Which means that if you recite Havdalah in Shmona Esra, you still have to recite Havdalah over the cup of wine. Now, I just want to point out, we've had already before, what if you made a mistake and you forgot to say it in Shmona Esra, right? Do you have to repeat
no.
The Shmona Esra, you know, with Marif Metzoy Shabbos? And he said, no, you didn't have to, because you can say it at home on the cup of wine. This is what we did then, okay?
Right.
But here we're not talking about you made a mistake. We're talking about the fact you know what you're doing. And if you know what you're doing, then you have to assume both obligations, both to do it in Shmona Esra, and also to do it, you know, to recite
like
it over the cup of
like
wine.
Covering all bases.
Right, right. Okay. So now they bring a parallel citation. Remember again that they had citations in different places, since it was all oral Torah, so that therefore someone remembered, you know, reading someplace else or hearing someplace else another one. So Itmonami, likewise we have learned the Rab Chiya Bar Abba. This time it's the person to whom they attributed is Rab Chiya Bar Abba, right? Omer Rab Yochanan, again in the name of Rab Yochanan. He says, Anshe Knesset HaGdolah Tiknu Lahem Liseh Brochos Esfilos Kedushas HaGdolos B'tchilo Kvahu B'tfilo Heshir Kvahu Ala Kors Kvahu V'heyonu Kvahu B'tfilo. Alright, all this is exactly what we said just before, but as I said, they attributed to a different authority, right? V'heym Omru, and they said, Hamadu B'tfilo Tzor Sheyadu Ala Kors. Alright. Do I have to translate that? Well, we understand, because it's only repetition of whatever we're written. Okay. Itmoname. Now, we have another teaching also that this time. Namely, this time it's about Rabbo and Rab Yosef. All right? Rabbo and Rab Yosef, the Amre Tabayud, both of them said, Amavdil bitfilo, he who recites Havdalah in Shmona Esrei, so she yadil akos. So we see already that the preponderant weight of authority is what?
The cup of wine.
That even though you have said it in Shmona Esra, you are still obligated to recite it over the cup of wine. Omar Rava, Rava said, Mosvinun Ashmati. It says, and how about going back, I mean, to what we said before, where it says, Tor, below Hiski Gibura Shom, Gishom Mitriyas Amesin, Ushem Bikas Hashonim Asirin, also, didn't we learn previously that, what? If you made a mistake and you forgot to mention Mashiv Arach Mir Hagoshim in the Gevurah Kishonim, or the same Talmud of Lebracha in Birkas Hashonim, so what happens? Mazirin also. Didn't we learn that you have to repeat the Shmona Esra? Of course, at that time we said, I mean, it depends under what circumstances whether you have to repeat in any case, but repeat what?
Well,
if, for example, I mean, you said, so what do you do?
So in that case, you
go back to Atta Gibor and do it, right? But what if after you said, in that case, you have to start it again from the very beginning, Ishmael Nesma, correct? Okay? And in the case of Borech Oleinu, there we learned different ideas as to what to do. If you can remember before you said, just start it again to Borech Oleinu. Otherwise, try to remember to say it where? In Shmakele, Shemei Atfilah, as they say. Okay? Try to say it there.
Well,
and
what would you say there?
Okay. Shmakele, Shemakele, 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 right, this is the point where you would say.
That's
okay?
What you would say.
Right, because there you can put in, a, like for example, on a fast day, this is where we put in our
Nino.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So at that particular point you would
right.
say.
Okay. Yeah.
So you can't, so if you forget the Talamoto,
yeah.
At that point you could say it there. Am I right?
Correct.
Yeah. So you don't have to go back and repeat.
You don't have to go back. You can say it in the middle there. Okay. The Havdalah Bechinen HaDoas, Ein Masir Nesei. But what if you forgot and you did not say Havdalah in Tefillin Hatoras, then you do not have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. Don't make him say the Shemoneh Esrei over again. Why? Because he can say it on the cup of wine. So they say, Lo Teimo B'Pnei Sheyochel Yomer HaKos. Don't say that it is because he can say it over the cup of wine, Elohim, but rather say Mipnei She'omer HaKos. Rather, you should say because he is going to say it
over
the wine. In other words, he has the obligation, not that he can if he feels like it, but he has an obligation to recite Holocaust. So that therefore, it shows us that even though we have said it
in the
Shmoneh Esrei, nevertheless, we still have the obligation to say it over the cup of wine. It Monami, likewise we have learned of the Rabbi Yemen, the Rabbi Yosef, and the Rabbi Yefes. Shol Rabbi Yossi as Rabbi Yochanan of Sidon, he asked him when he was in Sidon, in Sidon, the Amalo Rabbi Shimon ben Yaakov the Minzu, another say it wasn't him, it wasn't Rabbi Yochanan in Sidon, but rather it was Rabbi Shimon ben Yaakov who came from Minzur. And he asked Rabbi Yochanan, he asked all the question, he says, Vano Shamis says, but I heard, he says, Amadil Bitfilo, Zor Shayadil Lakos, right? Olo. He said, tell me, if a person says Havdalah in the Shmoneh Esrei, does he have to say Havdalah over the cup of wine or not? The Omalei, and he said, Zorich Shayadil Lakos. He said to him, yes, he has to say it over the cup of wine. All right, so naturally they're going to ask the next question. They ask the following question. If somebody recites Havdalah over a cup of wine. Now, of course, here the supposition is what? First, he took a cup of wine, he recited Havdalah without having first davened Maariv and said Shmoneh Esrei. Okay, so that's already a different story. So, Mahu Sheyadu B'Tfila. The question is now, when he says, the Shmoneh Esrei, does he have to say Ato Chenim, Ato Chenim Tanu, or does he not have to say? So Rav Nachum Yitzchak, says, the Kal V'Chemer says B'Tfila. He says, hey, this you learn by comparing what is the more important, what's the the lesser. B'Tfila the Ikar Takanta Ti, inasmuch as the Shmoneh Esrei, which is where it was originally supposed to be said, right, and that's where the original idea of Havdalah belongs. Amre, nevertheless, they said Hamadil b'Tfila Zora Sheyadil Lakos, that if a person says Havdalah in Shmoneh Esrei, he has to recite Havdalah over the cup of wine. So Hamadil Lakos, if he recites Havdalah over the cup of wine, the Lavi Kota Kantahi, which was not the original ordinance ordained by our rabbis, right? It's not as important, in other words, from this point of view, because the other one, had priority, so to speak. So no kosher came. All the more reason that even though he has already said it over the cup of wine, but he still is not excused
from saying it
in Shmoneh Esrei. Okay. Well, I think we'll stop at this particular point. And yes, Hashem, we'll meet again next week after Mincha Mar. Okay?
Presumably be around 8 o'clock. Maybe.
Yeah, approximately, because we'll be davening again next week after 7:30. We'll still be davening Mincha.
Lamed Gimel Aleph.
Pardon me?
Lamed Gimel.
Yeah, but still Lamed Gimel Amad Aleph. Let's get started on the shoot.
Well, Lamed Gimel?
Well, Lamed Gimel, first side, Aleph, right?
Aleph, yeah.
And in order to understand the discussion, I'm going to review just a little bit of what we did towards the end of last week's shoot, okay? So, count down from the middle of the page, we have the first big line over there, okay? We'll start again with the fourth line over there, where it says Rabbi Akiva. This
right.
is a quotation from the Mishnah. Okay. Because we're dealing with, with the Havdalah, if you remember. And in order to understand the discussion that will follow, we have to really start from here again, just to freshen our memory. Okay? So, Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion that Havdalah should be said as a separate bracha in the Shmoneh Esrei all by itself. Bracha Leviyah. Needless to say, not everybody is going to agree with his point of view, but the discussion will come up a little bit later. However, they started right now, we're talking about Havdalah itself. So, but even before they can begin talking about Hadalah, and then what do they do? They have to talk about Shemoneh Esrei in general. Okay? Mm-hmm. Right. So this is where we start with the Gemara. Omalai Rav Shemin Barabba Rabbi Yochanan. So Rav Shemin Barabba said to Rabbi Yochanan, he said, Mikhdei, let's see, he said, An Sheikneses Hagadaylah, Tiknu Lahem Yisrael Brochos Yisrael's Kedushas Abdolais. Right? The was the people of the Great Assembly, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, who ordained for the people of Israel the various brachos. You know, of course, what does it mean by brachos over here? Like, for example, let's say the, you know, what bracha do you make over wine? What bracha do you make over bread? What bracha do you make when you wash your hands and things like that? And so, okay? So this was the formulation of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Uspilos, naturally Tfilos means the Shemoneh Esrei, Nusach of the Shemoneh Esrei, who ordained that? It's the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Kiddushos, and by that Rashi understands, Kiddushos it means, for example, the Nusach of the Kiddush for Friday night, the Nusach of the Kiddush for, let's say, for a Yontif, you know, who ordained what should be the, you know, the phraseology that we use. So they did that, the HaGdolahs, all right? And they also did the same for the various Havdalos. So,
what's that last word?
Huh? Havdalos?
No, you have to Havdalos.
Okay, now the next word is Nechse. Let's see, he says. Echon Tikkun. Where did they put all these different things? So Amalei said, Bitechilo kiva uho bitzvila. Now he's talking specifically about Havdalos, okay? He says, at the beginning, if you remember, they decided to put the Havdalah into the Shemoneh Esrei. As we say, you know, Atochenu Antonu, you know, and where do we say it? Atochenu Antonu, right? Alright. Now, of course, we'd already learned previously last week, I mean, why did they decide to put it over there? Because it takes what? It takes das, it takes understanding, it takes knowledge in order to know how to make a distinction between Ben Kodesh Lechol, Ben Olakush, Ben Solomon, Ben Yomashurish, Ben Zamatzah. So, because it requires understanding, it requires knowledge, is the reason why they decided to put it there. That was explanation number one that we had, and then explanation number two, we said they put it over there
the
because
bracha.
Of the fact, right, it's the first bracha dikah, bracha in the Shemoneh Esrei. Shabbos, we don't say it. Yontif, we don't say it. So, that therefore, this is the first bracha dikah, bracha that we say, and that's why they decided to put it over there. Okay, so at first, what was the ruling of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah? They decided to put it into the Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, then what happened? Eshiru, people became wealthier, literally. Okay, in other words, they got a little bit money, and so now they could afford to go out and to buy themselves wine, right? So when that happened, so kibahu alakos, then they decided to make Havdalah over the cup of wine. Hey, Yonu? Yes.
You're saying wine. Does it actually say wine here?
No, but it's on
the
store.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but you don't use wine for dogs necessarily.
Okay, you're asking a good question, David. Yeah, it doesn't specify wine. But wine is what we would say it's binamukho. This is the preferred beverage, okay? However, if you don't make Havdalah over wine, then it is possible to make Havdalah over other beverages. Now, what kind of a beverage? So the answer the Gemara gives, not over here, but in a different place altogether, is that it has to be what they call Chamar HaMedino, or Sheikha HaMedino, which means it's a kind of a liquor, so to speak, or a kind of a drink, which is recognized as being popular in the particular Medina, particular country, okay? Now, what specifically qualifies under that? So according to all authorities, with beer, there's no question. With schnapps, there's no question. I mean, these are all recognized liquors that people drink, okay?
So you could actually use Coca-Cola in America.
Well, that already is questionable. It is questionable. There are those who said that if you're too poor for it, then you could do it over coffee or over tea, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. Over water, everybody's in agreement, you're not allowed to do it. Now, I just don't know, how does Coca-Cola fit into the scheme? Is it considered...
if you're talking about a drink in America, you're going to argue about Diet Pepsi.
Right. Diet Pepsi,
orange,
I don't
orange
know.
Orange juice is okay.
See, that, huh?
Orange juice, how can I ask you? Orange juice, apple juice, milk.
Orange juice wouldn't be any worse than those people who are willing to accept coffee or tea. Yeah,
milk,
with
milk
both, the same category.
Milk,
technically, the answer would be yes.
Uh-huh.
But I wouldn't recommend it. I mean,
milk.
My own predilection is not to recommend it. Okay. I don't understand.
Are you saying
well, you make a different ruffle if you
ruffle. No, you use if you use beer, you don't say
ball
fair.
No,
you
have
I'm
to
talking
admit.
About what we are familiar with.
Yeah, Bore Priyagopam, we praise God who created the fruit of the grapevine, right?
The fruit of the grapevine.
Of the grapevine. But by the way, incidentally, it does not mean grapes. What it means is specifically wine, or we also accept grape juice as falling in the same category. Or let's say if we would make a wine out of raisins, that would also fall into the same category.
Basically raisins are
Yeah, because raisins are also grapes, no question.
If you went to a brandy or a champagne, would you still make...
That is already a question.
We'll get that in the next
This is a real question.
Okay.
Right.
Champagne.
I'll wait.
But I don't know. Champagne is wine. There's no question about
wine.
That.
Yeah.
Oh, he's asking not
hours.
About
well,
wine.
Well, we get that.
Get
that. It's an interesting. How about
Do
we get that in the
a
next
rock.
Book?
What is a rock?
A rock?
What is that rock?
Yeah, I know. It's made out of anise, as far as I remember. It's a plant, what they ferment. Yeah. It's not wine, at any rate.
Oh,
fermented.
Okay.
Right. I mean, just as you can take grain and ferment it, you make, a whiskey or beer or something like
that.
So
a rock
is made out
of
anise, right.
It has to be something from the popular.
It has to be Hamar Hamdina, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep. In my opinion, however, again, wine, grape juice, this is Minabukwa, okay? Beer and schnapps, there's absolutely no question about that. But the other things already, it's beginning to be questionable as to whether it really falls into that category or not. There are those who accept it, those who would not use it. That's all. Yeah.
Yeah, how about vodka,
little bits? No, that's the same as schnapps.
No problem.
It's the same.
Okay.
When I say schnapps, I mean actually all kinds of stuff.
And
it could be liqueur, I mean whatever.
Okay. And Shabbos morning you wouldn't do tea or coffee. I mean where do you draw the line there on Shabbos morning when you make
kiddush? Exactly what the problem is. Who makes kiddush over tea or coffee on Shabbos? Nobody ever does
right.
that.
So, but you could make it on schnapps on Shabbos morning.
You make it on schnapps,
right.
sure. You can make it on wine, you can make it on schnapps.
But you couldn't go there beyond or below wine or schnapps. You could make it on beer for instance.
But the rest of the text remains the same. Still have to make it over spices. If I have a spice box, if I don't have a spice box, or if I don't have a box of spices or something, then in that case, that bracha is left out. Okay. But yes.
Question on that. Sorry to keep interrupting.
Yeah.
How about like if you add a scented salt or something like that? You're traveling. Still not a good idea.
I don't know. I'll be honest.
Right.
Nobody uses it. That's the point.
All right.
What people do use, you'll find that Sephardim, for example, they like to use like dried hadassim or something like that, which have a fragrance. And they do use for the, the Bore Minim Summit. That they use. And it's accepted by everybody.
Right.
Well, it has to be something really that people accept. Okay.
It seems to me that Abdullah is framing something, though it's a OH,
Yeah, right. That you have to say. I mean, right.
And then it goes on the fruit of the vine, and then the spices.
Right.
So
except that the order is first wine, then spices, and then fire. Okay. And then the bracha Abdullah. This we'll discover later on. I mean, that there was a difference of opinion between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. as far as the order in which the bracha should be said. But we naturally accept Beis Hillel, and that's the order which they decided was the correct order. And of course that leads to another complication, which I'm only touching on right now. What happens when you have a Havdalah on a Yontif night, and you know it is a Saturday night Yontif, then what order do you say the various brachas and things?
That's
like
all right.
Huh?
Right.
Well, yeah, you have to make it over light. But you also have the question about Shechayonu, where does that come in?
Oh.
You understand? So, these things we'll discuss as we go along.
You
okay?
Say it at the end, don't
huh? Yeah. Right. Shechayonu is always safe at the end. And they have all kinds of mnemonic devices for that. All right. But anyway, it says over here, over the cup, hakos. I mean, David asked the question to begin with. The word wine is not there. But normally, when we see the word kos, we normally are thinking in terms of the cup of wine. Okay? All right. Again, remember, it's hair shoe. You see, they got rich. You're supposed to feel rich. Now, I don't know whether with coffee or tea and so on, you feel rich. With wine, you know, or the schnapps or something like that, you know, you already feel a bit richer.
Well, happier.
Yes. Yeah.
Ask a historical question. Did they have coffee at the time?
No.
Okay.
No.
They didn't have the Columbia
right.
Cocaine barrel.
No, their favorite drink actually in those days either was wine or beer. The Egyptians knew how to make beer, the Babylonians knew how to make beer. And, you know, so we find references to Sheikh Al-Mawdai, for example, literally Median, liquor or something like that.
It's all beer kosher.
It's all beer kosher. We paskin that it is.
Coors has an OU now.
Yeah.
Coors has an
OU. Coors has
wine. OU.
See, as long as they don't put in any grape juice or wine or something like that, then they don't have a problem with that. And the distillery, as far as I know, is making only beers.
Yeah.
And I'm busy making wines and stuff.
Make enough.
It's also known that all the beers are made of non-chemical
remedies. That's a different problem.
Yeah. All right.
All right. So, getting back to what text, right? So we see, all right, that the first place where they decided to make Havdalah was in Shvod Esrei. Then, afterwards, they decided to do it over a cup of wine. Now, of course, the implication over here is, again, that if they decided to make it over the cup of wine, then what would the implication be? That they didn't have to make it anymore in the Shmon Esrei, right? And then the people became poor again as a result of oppression and other problems that they had. So what happened? Hayonu, Chosvik Chohu Bitfilah. They again put it back into the Shmon Esrei. The Hamomru, and they said, Hamavdil Bitfilah, that if a person says, Havdalah, in the Shmon Esrei, Tzorech Sheyatil Alakos. Nevertheless, he still has to make Havdalah over the cup. Okay? Alright. So, Itmaname, likewise we've learned, same thing, and same idea, that Onu Abchir Barab, Onu Ab Yochanan, that what? Anshekhtes Agdoilot Tikdu Lahem Yisrael, Rochos Esfilis Kedushas Havdalah, it's exactly the way as we said. Bitchilo Kvahu Bitfilah, Heshir Kvahu Alkois, and then Chosim Hyonu Kvahu Bitfilah. In other words, exactly as we said before. The Anshekhtes Agdoilah were the ones who ordained all the various brachas and fillos, etc., etc., and also as well the Havdalah. At first, they decided that the place was in the Shmon Esrei. Then, after they got wealthier, life became easier, so they decided to do it over the cup of wine.
Why did they repeat it?
And then afterwards, they said, why? Okay, the answer is that very often they repeat something like this because we're not sure who was the original person, right, who said it. So if they had two traditions, let's say that Reuben said it and then somebody else, no, it wasn't Reuben, but it was Shimon. So very often you'll have a repetition to show that not only did Reuben say it, but also Shimon said it as well. And so that is the reason why. Remember again, all this is oral Torah. which was only later put into a written form. And since they wanted to preserve the oral traditions as much as possible, so this is why. Also, again, bear in mind, not only is the question of which authority said it, but also they may have a quotation, let's say, from Tosefta, which corroborates something that was said by someone else. Okay? So when you have that, often they'll bring that in order to corroborate the statement. All right. And again, Itmoname, we have also learned as follows, that Rabba Rabbi Yosef, Tamit Abayu, both Rabba and Rabbi Yosef said both of them, Hamadid Bitfilot Soshi Adilakas, that whoever recites Abdullah in Shmon Esri must still recite Abdullah over the cup. So Omar Rabba, so Rabba said, the Mosvidin Ashmatin, he says, we have to question these traditions. Why do we have to question them? Because we have a different point of view. We learned before, right? If a person by error failed to recite Mashiv Aruch Mer Hagoshim in the Brach of Tchias HaMesim, in other words, in the second Brach of the Shemin Esra, or the Talamot of the Brocha in the Brocha, which deals with, we say Baruch Aleinu as Hashanah Hazois. So Machzir Nesar, then we make him repeat the Shmona Esra. The Habdolah Bechinu Nadoaz, whereas when it comes to Habdolah, which should be recited where? In Chinen Hadoaz, but he forgot to say it, then in that case, in Machzir Nesar, Neshayoch Leon Alkois, we do not make him recite the Shemin Esra over again because of the fact that he can say Abdullah over the wine. Okay? So they say, Lo Tame of Neshiyochli Omarkos, don't say because he can say it over the cup of wine, Elo Emo, but rather you should say, Mipnesha Omarkos, because he has to say it over the cup of wine. In other words, the one would seem to make it implied that it was purely voluntary, whether you want to make it over the cup of wine or you don't want to make it over the cup. Okay? Whereas the second reading would be that you have to make it over the cup even though you have already said Abdullah and Shemin Esra. Itwaname, again, we have likewise learned, Omar Abin Yomim by Yefes, Abin Yomim said that Shol Rabbi Yossi is Rabbi Yochanan Mitzida. That Rabbi Yossi asked Rabbi Yochanan while they were in the city of Sidon, the army law, and there were those who say that tradition is as follows: Rabbi Shimon ben Yaakov de Minsor is Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, Rabbi Shimon ben Yaakov of Minsor, place someplace or other in northern Israel, who asked Rabbi Yochanan. He says, "Va'ano shameis." He says, I have heard as follows, but Amadil b'tfilo that a person who recites Abdullah in the Shemin Esra Tzorach Sheyavdil HaKos, he has to say the Abdullah also over the cup of wine. Oh no! Or maybe it's not so. The Yom Alei, and he said unto him, he asked the Kasha, he asked the Shaila, so they gave him the answer. What is it? Tzorach Sheyavdil HaKos, right? He has to make Abdullah over the cup of wine. So far we see what is the consensus of opinion among everybody over here. That even though you say in Shemin Esra, you still have to make it over the cup. Okay? So, Iboyle, now the question was asked as follows. Hamab di lalakos, if a person recites Abdullah over the cup. In other words, he didn't say Shemin Esra first. What did he do? First thing that he did, he made Abdullah. Let's say it was Oy Shabbos, but instead of davening first, the first thing he did was to make Havdalah. Okay? So it was a Mavdil Alkois. Mahu Sheyadu Tfila. So the question is, should he then say Havdalah when he davens Shemin Esra afterwards?
Should he say Havdalah on down?
Yeah. In other words, he didn't daven yet. This is the idea. He hasn't davened. But he did make Havdalah. Why he made Havdalah? Whatever reason. Primary reason is probably the fact that by law we should not eat anything at home until we have made Havdalah first. Okay? It's the first thing that we should do. Come home from shul, make Havdalah, then after that you can eat. But don't eat something before you make Havdalah. Okay? So, let's say that he was
so
home.
He fell asleep and he woke up.
Fell asleep. He woke up. It was Zoy Shabbos. He was hungry. He wanted to eat. Or the family said, I want to, you know, I have to feed the kids. How about it? Why don't you make Havdalah and so on? Right? So, he made Havdalah. All right. So now the question is, having made Havdalah over the cup of wine, when he davens, well, he still has to daven. He's not free from davening. So, Mahu Sheyadu B'Tfilo. So, what would be the ruling? Does he then have to recite Havdalah in the Shmoneh Esrei, in as much as he already said it over the cup of wine? It's made it as Brochen, you know.
This is Motzei Shabbat.
This is Motzei Shabbat we're talking about, right. But of course, the same rule would apply to Motzei Yom Tov. Make the same Havdalah at that time. And of course, with Motzei Shabbos on a Yom Tov, that already is a different problem, which we'll get around to. Okay? Alright. So, should he say it or not? Or is he excused from having to say it anymore? So, Omer Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchok. Nachum Bar Yitzchok says, Kal v'chomer, he says, b'tfilah. I can learn a Kal v'chomer, he says, from davening. Well, you know what a Kal v'chomer means. Kal v'chomer means that if it's so in this case, then it certainly should be so in something else. In other words, if the more important area it's so, then certainly you should apply to the, to the lesser important area. Okay? So, Matfilo de Yikar Takanto, he. The Shemoneh Esrei, this was actually the major reason why they made the takona, why they made the ruling that you should say Havdalah, right? What did they start with? They started with Shemoneh Esrei. Not only that, but then they came back again to Shemoneh Esrei in order to show the fact that you have to make Havdalah in the Shemoneh Esrei, okay? So, Mat Filo de Yikar Takanta, he, inasmuch as, look, Shemoneh Esrei, this is where the primary place for the recital of the Havdalah is. Amre, and nevertheless, they said what? Amadu b'tfilo Zorach Sheyadu L'Akreis, that if a person has said it in Shemoneh Esrei, he still has to recite it over the cup. So, Amadu l'Hakos, if a person starts with Havdalah over the coast, right? The Lavi Katakanta here, which was not the primary place, you know, to recite Havdalah. It wasn't the primary reason for it, right? Lo Kol Shekein, all the more reason that he should recite it. Tani Rav Acha Ariko, Kame de Rav Chinino. Rav Acha Ariko, some say it was not Acha, maybe say it was Abba Ariko, but it doesn't make it. Ariko means the tall guy, okay? Yeah. So he said it in the presence of Rav Chinina. He says, Amad Yubit Vilo, he says that if you make Havdalah in the Shemoneh Esrei, Meshubach Yoser, he says, it is more praiseworthy, Mimishi Yavdil Akos, than the one who makes Havdalah over the cup of wine. The Im Hivdil Bezu, but if he makes Havdalah both in the davening and over the cup of wine, then Yenuchalo Brochus Al Rosho, then may blessings fall upon his Kepala.
So he says?
Yeah.
Al Rosho.
Rosho.
Kepala,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't
want to
kill you.
You're talking about
I'm a little confused though. If the man,
yes.
This is going back one or two examples, not from the Mishpat.
Sure.
If man says the Havdalah over the coast,
right. And we're saying he did that first.
Then Shabbat is over.
Yeah, right, absolutely.
So, but he still then has to go and do the...
Well, that was what the question is. And they paskin over here that he does say it. Because why? Because it was Ika Takanta was in the Shemoneh Esrei. Exactly. see, the major thing, you know, for Saint Abdullah, they decided was actually
in the
first of the Shmon Esrei. Okay, not saying about the order now, but as we see, the primacy is given to the Atok and Antonin that we say. But we said, if you made a mistake and you forgot to say it, then you don't have to repeat Shmon Esrei. Why not? Because you can still, I mean, because you're going to say it. We changed the lashon, if you remember. Not that he could, but that he
obligated.
He's obligated to say it over the
Kodesh. Isn't it true though that the moment you say a Tokon Antona, it's already after?
Yeah, it's
already
Shabbos for you.
So it's Shabbos for you.
Correct.
Now, if he makes the Abdullah,
right? Yeah.
Is it really a Shabbos at that point?
That's my point. It's full. He's doing the Shmona Esrei from Motzei Shabbat.
All right.
Shmona Esrei. He's doing it.
Okay.
Fall.
You're asking
That's
a very good question. The question is why the Abdullah, of course. Okay. Gemara over here gave the answer. You know, Heshiva. In other words, you're living a better life. You're better off than your parents were when they were poor, and so on and so forth. So it's a nice thing. But in reality, there's another reason why. Why do you make Abdullah a cost? The answer is because you also have people at home for whom it's a mitzvah to make Abdullah so that they too could join them. I mean, your wife, your children don't come to shul to daven with you. They may not daven. Okay. But still, it's a mitzvah to make Abdullah for them that they could also be Yitzhak and begin to make themselves Wachadik. So this is the major reason why, even though we have already said it in the Shmona Esrei, good, so that's good for ourselves, but it's not good for the people in our household for whom we also have to recite Abdullah in order that they should be Yitzhak, you know, that they should fulfill the obligation with our say.
Yeah, I think the question that David's asking is, how could it be a Shabbos?
No, it is Soy Shabbos.
Well, by saying the
So
Soy
Shabbos for me, and it's Soy Shabbos for you, and Soy Shabbos for the other people have not heard Abdullah or said it in Shmones, but technically they're still Shabbos there.
So that's what he's bringing out. He's
is that what you mean?
It's your question. What you want.
It's not so important. I enjoyed this
Let me reiterate your question. See if I understood your question.
Absolutely.
You're saying that if you made Havdalah over Kos, Shabbos is gone.
Correct. Exactly.
You're davening Maariv, and you shouldn't consider it as Motzei Shabbos. You should just say Saturday night, as opposed to Motzei Shabbos. It's just another Maariv to you. It's because Shabbos is long gone.
Sure.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes. You're
it's now just another weekday Maariv to you. It's not Motzei Shabbos because that went long ago, half an hour ago, when you made Havdalah.
But then
if that is the case, if it's full, can you go back and do the Havdalah? Right, Atopananta.
I'm sorry. Yes,
I didn't say it again. No, you did a very good shot.
Okay. If he makes Havdalah at 8:32, and then he doesn't. I mean, 8:32, that means he can put on TV and watch TV as far as he's concerned. Then he says, I better daven Maariv.
Right.
Okay, he davens Maariv. Now, Shabbos is completely gone for him. The whole Shabbos is left. It's not in his mind at all.
Correct.
9:30,
right.
He davens.
Right.
Since Shabbos is gone for him, it's not in his head at all, why should he just say that prayer? Because
as we see, the preponderant opinion is that he should still say it. In other words, it's not a Saturday night Shmona Esrei without Atok Nantana. You have not given a complete davening. That's the idea.
And because,
as we said before, the Yikot HaKanta.
Because it's a major separation.
Right. This was where, this was the primary place where they decided it should be decided. Okay.
And the weekday.
It's not a question of what time.
If you can daven early on Friday, surely you can daven late on Saturday night.
But it's not Shabbat yet when you
davening Maariv early on Friday.
Because I think officially the major separation is the Atok and Antona.
That marks the separation exactly between Bein Kodesh to Chol, is what we're saying.
Even though it's after Shabbos, that really is the official separation out there.
Right. look, until that time, we're not allowed to do anything, you know, which is vachadik. There's no question about it.
Okay.
I mean, let's say, I'll give you a simple illustration, okay? I determined, let's say, that at 8:32 last Shabbos night, it was Oy Shabbos, okay? All right. We didn't get around, let's say, to davening till 8:40, all right? Okay? So now, the question is, Shabbos was over already at 8:32. We didn't actually say Shemoneh Esrei until, let's say, we started at 8:40 with Maariv, it means that we got there maybe about 8:50 or something like that, okay? So, no, so the fact that it was already Oy Shabbos 15 minutes doesn't mean, therefore, that we shouldn't say Atok Nantono? No. Because could I, for example, light Yahrzeit lights over here prior to my saying Shemoneh Esrei? The answer is no. I have to first recite a Havdalah before I'm allowed to do it. And of course, where do I recite the Havdalah? I recite it in the Shemoneh Esrei.
So if I'm at Kesher on Saturday night, we don't get a minyan. I say Hamavdil, I drive over to Kadima, daven with you,
right?
And I do say Atah.
And you say the Shemoneh Esrei, exactly.
I mean, even though I've made Abdullah in Kesser,
correct.
Even we didn't get a minyan. I made Abdullah.
But you did say
but I didn't daven.
No.
I didn't daven. I just said Hamavdil, got my car, drove over here, caught the minyan. Yeah,
correct,
got the
correct, correct.
When I'm davening with the minyan, just like everybody else, I'd have to say Atah.
Absolutely right, dear. Absolutely.
So that there's the situation.
Exactly what it is.
So you can. So the fact is that he is, even though it's not, he hasn't separated the Shabbos.
I have, but I haven't done it with Havdalah. I've just made the Racha Hamad.
Right.
Can you tell him the Racha Hamad?
This is what we say.
Over the coast,
right? Yeah, that's over the coast, right.
Right. Now, he said something that's very interesting, and I don't want to beat this to death, because everybody was going to fall asleep. He said something very interesting.
He's only
he said the Mahavdalah over the coast, and if I capture, he said, I drove over to Kadima, because to him it's now Chol, Shabbat is gone,
right?
Correct.
So it's not even the situation where he's done the Mahavdalah over the coast, but it's not, you know, with the lights, he's kept Shabbat in his heart, and he's done the Havdalah.
No.
You misunderstand what he's saying.
Right.
What he's saying is that he hears, let's say, Havdalah at Kesem, all right?
Yeah.
Or let's say the same thing. Let's say he made Havdalah in his own house, okay?
Right.
And then he comes over to here, because he knows he'll still catch a minion over here.
Yeah, suppose I got your
okay.
I live in Longmeadow.
Right.
I want to say Kaddish on Saturday night.
He's
okay.
Absolutely permitted to do that,
okay.
But nevertheless, once he comes over here, and he davened Shemoneh Esrei, even though he's already said, you know, Baruch HaMavdil at home, he still has to recite the Havdalah in the Shemoneh Esrei. This is what we're passing over here.
Yeah.
It's exactly what it is.
This discussion of things.
Look, I'll tell you, there are... there are times when we have to do that. Look.
This is confusing.
No, it's nothing confusing about it. All right. I will bring you the example of Tisha B'Av, okay? Except that with Tisha B'Av, there's one little complication, okay? But here we have Tisha B'Av, and it started Sunday night, right?
Right.
Okay. We purposely arranged the davening so that we could begin when people are able to drive over here after Shabbos. Okay?
Right.
Now, what should they have done beforehand once it was Zoy Shabbos? The answer is they should have said simply, Baruch HaMadim and Kodesh Lachol. Okay? By saying that, they were already permitted to get into the car and to drive.
All right.
Okay? And then when they get over here and we daven the Shemoneh Esrei, they still have to say the regular Atah and Antanu in the Shemoneh Esrei itself. So that is the point of the thing. Right. Yeah,
so
Shabbos is over, of course. We can't make
Havdalah
before.
Why are we doing the Shemoneh Esrei and Atah and Antanu for Shabbat if Shabbat is
over? Because it's still Saturday night. In the same way that you'd say the psalm for the Monday on Monday,
right.
You say this on a Saturday night because it's Saturday night.
Yeah. If this is what the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah said, on Saturday night, you have to say Atah v'Antanu in the Shemoneh Esrei.
Right.
then this is what you have to do. You have to say,
I'm
not
sure
this.
It's like saying a over prayer or whatever.
Yes.
They
yeah.
ordained it. That's
yeah.
it.
Even though it's no longer Shabbat.
Yeah, right. Correct.
But it is the first Shimon Esrei is saying for to start the new week. So in order to make that distinction, you're saying Atrochon Antono.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it.
Yeah, correct. I mean, normally if you've been in shul for Mincha Maira, so naturally you've got to make it first in the Shimon Esrei. There's no question. Then you go home, you make up
the
that's,
first. The first Shimon
that
Esrei
supposedly
is
the normal sequence, but still we know not everybody makes it over here for Mincha Maira. Okay. So if it should happen that you make Abdullah first at home and then you daven afterwards, you still have to say this is what this is the question that they're asking, okay, and this is the answer that they give. Okay, that there's a difference of opinion concerning that, yeah, there is a difference of opinion, but it's not the preponderant opinion. The preponderant opinion is what we accept as the halacha of this case. Okay. All right, so yeah, you boil a little. Right, he said, so she, Yavli Lakos, that's the last one. Right?
6 lines.
Okay, no, we're more. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
No.
Oh, you're right. Okay. You're absolutely right. Right. Yeah, we already got further than that. Right, that's where we are. Okay, good. All right, so we're 5 lines from the bottom now.
Right.
So they say, oh, Gufa Kasha, hey, this is a Kasha. It's a contradiction over there. There's a difficulty over here. Why? Because Amrit, you have already said, what? Amabdu bitfilah, mishubach yoysel, mimishiyad elakos. Right? That if a person says, Havdolah in Shemun Esra, it's better than a person who says, Havdolah over the cup of wine. So, Almo, if this is the case, tefilah lechudah, sagi. Then it would imply that the Shemun Esra by itself, that is just saying it in Shemun Esra, sagi, there should be enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we say that it's more important to say it in Shemun Esra than it is to say it over the cup of wine, then what is the implication? Then the implication would be that by saying it in Shemun Esra, it's enough. We don't have to say it anymore over the wine, right? And then you taught us as follows. He says, if you make Abdullah both in Shemun Esra and over the cup, Yonuchalo Brachas al Rosha, right? Then may blessings come to his capon. Okay? But capon, he says, and inasmuch the Nothik Lebechado, if he is already Yoitse, if in other words he fulfills the obligation of reciting Havdalah Bechado in just one of these, right, then Iftar, then in that case he should already be potter from having to say it in the other, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now he makes the argument even stronger. If you say that you've already said it in the Shemun Esra, right, and therefore you're a potter, then in that case, v'hevye bracha she'ino tzricha, then the havdalah that you recite at home, this is already a bracha which is not even necessary. You understand the argument?
Yeah,
don't
yeah.
All right.
It's like a bracha levatola.
Right, it's a bracha levatola, exactly. The Yomar Rav, and Rav said, the Tevel Reish Lakish, and there are those who say it wasn't Rav, but it's Reish Lakish, who happened to be before Rav's time, right? The Yomar Rav Yochanan, others say it was Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. The Yomar Tanayim, that it was Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, who were contemporaries, that they both said it together. What? Kol HaMavoreich Barocho Sheino Tzimichov. Whoever recites a bracha which is unnecessary, reciting a bracha where you don't have to say a bracha, right? Oyver mishum leisisa. Then in that case, you have transgressed that commandment in the Ten Commandments, which says, "Thou shalt not bear the Lord of the Lord, you know, the name of the Lord your God in vain." In other words, don't use God's name in vain. So, Elohim Ohochi. But therefore, I have to say as follows. Im Hivdil Bizu, Velo Hivdil Bizu. If he said Abdullah in one and not in the other, then Yanukalai Brochis al Reshay, then may blessings fall upon his head. So we see, if this is his conclusion, that he's definitely being contradicted by what we've said before. Because we said you have to say it both. And he's saying that the implication is only that he could say it in one or in the other. But you don't have to say it in both, you pop up. So, the question is, you know, what ruling are we going to accept? So, Rav Chisda asked the following question of Rav Sheshes. He says, Tor bezu ubezu mahu. What if a person forgot to say it in Atoch and Antonu, and then he forgot to say it al hakos? What did he do? First thing that he did at home, as soon as he came home, he didn't make Abdullah. What did he do? Sat down, son, to press. Okay? Without having made Abdullah first. Okay? So, Mahu, what's the din in that case? So, Amalei, so he said to him, Tor, Bizu, Bizu. If he made a mistake and forgot to say Abdullah both in the Shmonesra and at home, then in that case, Chozer L'Rosh. And he has to go back to the beginning of the Shmonesra and say Atoch and Antonu, and then he has to again make the Havdalah. He has to then afterwards recite the Havdalah over the cup of wine. So as you see, the preponderant opinion is that you're not potter simply, you know, by saying, let's say in the Shmonesra, that you don't have to do it at all at home. You should have it also at home. When I say at home, you could be Yotze with somebody else's Havdalah too, if you're in their presence.
And he has your mind.
Right, and you have in mind that you want to be Yotze with his Havdalah, then you could be Yotze with that. Look, let's say you have a hotel. In the hotel, one person makes Havdalah for everybody.
Yeah, sure.
So instead of having, let's say, 50 or 100, 150 individual Havdalahs over there, one person makes Havdalah, and by everybody having in mind that they want to be Yotze with this particular person, Havdalah, then they're Yotze with it. They don't have to make it over again, okay? Or the same thing if you're together with the family, let's say, you know. For example, if I go to visit my son, so, you know, my son makes Havdalah. I have in mind, you know, that I should be Yotze with his Havdalah. That's perfectly correct.
Is that also true with Kiddush?
Yes, it is. It's correct. You don't have to make individual Kiddushes. One person could be Mekadesh, could recite Kiddush for everybody who wants to be Yotze with that Kiddush. Yeah. As a matter of fact, some people consider it even a great mitzvah, you know, that one person does it for everybody. I'm not altogether happy with that because I like to make my own Kiddush even if I'm with somebody else, but I don't have to. I mean, if I want to be Yotze with the other person's Kiddush, then there's no pressure. According to the din, it's absolutely correct. I started to train my boys from the moment that they could begin reading that they should know how to recite Kiddush. Even though in other families, you know, they don't let any of the boys recite Kiddush. But I think that's a mistake. I think that chinuch, to train them to be able to know how to perform a mitzvah, is one of the most important things that we as parents can give our children.
Yeah.
Yes.
How does this last argument prove that it's important to do the Havdalah over the Kos, because it says bazoo, bazoo? In other words,
okay.
If he didn't do it either Atach and Atach or Havdalah over the Kos, then he must
be. I mean, your argument would be that if he did it only one, he should be Yotze, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or in other words, if he.
Well,
if
you
he
can for, see.
If,
yeah.
he had, if he had said. In effect, they're saying he's returning because he forgot to do it. Forgot to do it.
Right. But Rav Sheshes Paskins over here, that he not only has to do it, has to review, has to repeat Shmonesra again and include Atoch and Antonu, but he also has to make Havdalah al hakos. He has to do both.
Yeah, because he forgot to do both.
Right.
He wants that
right. Exactly.
That's what it says.
Yeah. If he had forgotten to do it in Atoch and Antonu, right? forgot to say it in Atochenen, so then we already paskin that when he says it over the coast, with that he's Yoytzer.
Yes,
he doesn't have to then repeat Shmonesra. This is what we'd said a few minutes ago, okay? But if he didn't do it in either one, then he has to do both of them. Omaya Avinu L'Rova, Hilchos Omai. So Ravina said to Rova, so tell me, what is the halacha? Now, some of the commentaries, including Rashi, they say, you know, that if it says Hilchos Omai, you know, what is the halacha, very often implies that they weren't certain in their own mind, you know, which authority to follow. Omale ki kiddush. So he says, you know what? Abdullah is like kiddush. How is it like kiddush? Ma kiddush, just as in kiddush. Apol gab de mekadosh bitzlusa and mekadosh hakosa, even though he recites kiddush in the Shmoneh Esrei. Now, what do we mean kiddush in the Shmoneh Esrei? When we consider, I mean, what is the middle bracha of the Shmoneh Esrei? Okay. Shabbos kochecha, or if it's Yom Tov, you know, it's Moadei kochecha, things like that, right? And how do we conclude the bracha? Or if it's Yom Tov, the Kadosh Yisrael Hazmanim. Okay, so we are actually reciting Kiddush in the Shmoneh Esrei. That's the Tzlusa, the Shmoneh Esrei. Okay.
Is it plausible to make Kiddush? I mean, on a Friday night, you get home from work on a Friday night, make Kiddush for your wife and kids, as it were, and then daven. Is that feasible?
Feasible, I don't know, but if it's permissible, the answer is yes.
Oh, right.
Yeah, because just as we passed in the case of the Hadolah, if you said Hadolah first, mm-hmm. and then you sit down to, you know, first daven. So the same thing would be with davening Friday night.
You could make Kiddush, you could
preferable
when it gets dark.
Right, I don't have to tell you that it's preferable to daven first, before. Okay? That is no question. But nevertheless, would you have fulfilled the obligation of making Kiddush if you make it first, even before you daven? The answer is yes. Definitely.
You wouldn't have to repeat it afterwards.
No, then you wouldn't have to repeat Kiddush afterwards.
But you would have to make the
in Shmoneh Esrei, yes, you have to say you have to say it.
Yeah.
But you don't have to make Kiddush twice at home. That you don't have to do. So he says, "My Kiddush Avol Gav De Mekadosh Bitzloso." Even though he had already said Kiddush in the Shmoneh Esrei, nevertheless, Mekadosh Hakasa, he still has to recite Kiddush over the cup of wine. So Av Havdalah Nami. So Havdalah too. Same thing. Even though he recites Havdalah in the Shmoneh Esrei, he still has to recite Havdalah over the cup of wine. So as we can see from all of these opinions, that the final analysis, the preponderant weight of the opinion is as we pass him, he said both. And Harezeh Mishubah, and that's bracha should come on your kepana, you know, if you do the right thing, okay? Yeah, right, right. Afal gav is Aramaic for afal pi in Hebrew. Same thing.
Gav means mouth?
No, gav happens to mean back. Even on the back, gav, okay? Yeah, gav actually in Hebrew means back. Or in Aramaic.
Af is nose. Af is nose?
No, others are feeling even. So, in Hebrew you say apathy, even though. That's what the expression really means. Okay? I mean, don't take everything absolutely literally.
No, I'm
you
trying
to
understand
the
idiom.
What is the sense?
I'm
sense
mean,
means even though.
Okay.
So in Aramaic, apal gav is the same thing.
I think that's not what
the word means. The word for nose is up. I mean, this is the thing that got him off. I mean, David
knows over mouth.
But
right?
This has nothing to do with really short the up for the word afilo, even if.
You mean it doesn't mean nose over mouth?
It
doesn't mean nose over mouth. All these years.
Sure. I mean, I knew it was an idiom, but I thought that's what his literal meaning was.
Yeah. Okay. Rabbi Eliezer on the Hoidor. Now Rabbi Eliezer says that you have to make Havdalah in Modim Anachdullah. So to tell the story, Rabbi Zera was riding on a donkey. Rabbi Chiya Bar Oven was holding on to the reins and walking behind him. Okay? Obviously, the donkey was not the fastest way of locomotion, but since the Rebbe was a little bit older, so he needed transportation.
He
rode on the donkey. And the younger man, you know, the Talmud, he was walking, holding on. Okay, holding on to the reins, probably, or something like that.
You're guiding the donkey.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there was a rope or something. Make sure the donkey doesn't run away. I don't know. Figure for yourself. He's going behind him, but he's holding on to something.
Okay.
Over there. Okay. A rein or something. Maybe it's hanging on to the back seat or the rumble seat or the back tire or something.
Getting very, very.
The bumper is trying to hitch
like
a ride on the bumper
of
the donkey. So he said to him, that is, you know, Rab Chiya said to Rab Zera, he says, Vadai de Amritu Nishmei de Rab Yochanan Aloch de Rab Eliezer B'yom Tov Shechol Yos Achar HaShabbos. He says, tell me, is it true that you said in the name of Rab Yochanan that the halacha is in accordance with Rab Eliezer? In other words, to make it as a separate, I mean, not as a separate, but to say it in Modim Anachdu, that the Havdalah should be recited in Modim Anachdu on a Yom Tov, which happens to occur Motzei Shabbos, you know, at the conclusion of Shabbos. Omalei, so he said to him, in, yeah, he says, that's exactly what I said. Halacha miklal deflige. So, but, you know why I said halacha? Because halacha implies, and this is what I said a few moments ago, that sometimes the implication of the word halacha is that there are differences of opinion, but in my opinion, this is what the din should be, okay? The klal defligei, because, which would imply that there are those who disagree, right? Below pligei. And I maintain that nobody disagrees. So he says, oh, pligei rabbodo. But the rabbis do disagree with this opinion. So Amor, I say as follows, he says, the plige rabbonim bisho yimei sashona, that the rabbis are in disagreement with Rabbi Eliezer when, on the ordinary Saturday nights during the course of the year, but the Yom Tov Shechol Yosacha HaShabbos miplige, but on a yontif which occurs at the conclusion of Shabbos, do they disagree? How could they disagree when, where are you going to recite Havdalah? Don't say Atochanan Talnu on a yontif, right? So where can we do it? So okay, so Rabbi Eliezer had a good Eitzah. What is the Eitzah? The Eitzah is say it in Moedim. Right. So I agree with Rabbi Eliezer. This is a good idea. That the Moedim Yontif, on Yontif, which is Moedim Shabbos, in that case, say it where he suggests. So they say the Hopoli Rabbi Akiva. But look, isn't Rabbi Akiva in disagreement with him? What did Rabbi Akiva say? Rabbi Akiva said you have to say Havdalah is a separate bracha by itself, right? So he answers him, Atu Kalashana Kulami Adin Krabi Akiva, the Hashto Nekav and Avit Kabose. Hey, he says, tell me, all year round, do we do what Rabbi Akiva said? That now all of a sudden we should do in accordance with his opinion, you know, to make it as a separate prophet? We don't do it. So he says, Kalashana Kulami Tamil Adin Krabi Akiva. Says, why all year round don't we do it like Rabbi Akiva? The answer is because the Tmane is Sore Tikkun, the Shasre Lo Tikkun. The Chachomim decided, the Anshe Knesset HaGdol decided Shmoneser should consist of 18 brachas and not 19 brachas. Ochaname. So likewise here, Shev Tikkun, Tmane Le Tikkun. the sages said that on a Shabbos or a Yontif, and of course now we're talking about Yontif, and on a Yontif there should be seven brachas, right? But Tmane, eight, loitikon. They did not ordain that we say eight brachas. So Amalei, so he said to him, Lav halochi itmor. He says, in that case, we're not really learning that this is the halacha what you're suggesting. But what are we learning? We're learning only that, in my opinion, this is what it should be. This is how it seems to me, this is what they should decide, right? The Itmar Rabbi Yitzchak Avdimi, Oma Meshum Rabbeinu, Halacha, V'yamilo Matan. Because we've learned already that sometimes when we have the expression Halacha, there are those who say that all that it means is not that it is actually the halacha, but it only means that it's matan, that the opinion seems to be that this would be the right thing. But maybe the real practice is not. Different. I mean, it's not the accepted practice. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Modim. All right, Rabbi Yochanan said we should say it in Modim. Rabbi Chiya bar Rabba Omar Nirin. And Rabbi Chiya bar Rabba said, seems to me, yeah, it's not a bad idea, right? Omar Rab Zeiro. So Rab Zeiro said, the quote the Rabbi Chiya bar Rabba Biyotko. He says, hey, you should listen to what Rabbi Chiya bar Rabba said. Why? The Diek the Goma Shmatim and Puma Demora Shapir. He says because he normally gives an exact quotation that he heard from his teacher. He carries, you know, he transmits it beautifully, whatever he heard from his teacher. Kirachva the Pumpadisa, as in the case of Rachva of Pumpadisa, the Omer Rachva who said Omer Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, he said Har Habayis. He says the temple mount had a stio kapul. Now stio is actually the Greek word stoa, which means a colonnade. You know, they had columns in front of the wall, okay? And the Har HaBayis had not just one row of columns, but it had a double row, kapul. It had a double row of columns.
The word kapul?
Kapul means double. Okay? There are you. It's not a bad association.
Yeah, good couple, association. Couple.
Right? Not bad. After all, put in the dot in the pay, yeah, you got it right. The Hoyo stole Lifnimistyo. And therefore, in the Har HaBayis, what did you have? You had one stoa, right within another stoa. Omer Rabbi Yosef, he said, Analo HaYosef.